Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
Well, Saturday is laundry day at the DeNicola house. Lori gets all the laundry going, and yesterday was no different. She started a load of wash right away, and then she was off to the heart-to-heart ladies' ministry meeting and had a great time there. So while she was away at the meeting, I decided I was going to get the next load in for her. So I took the load out of the washer and put it into the dryer and got that going. And then I got the next load out and put it. We got a new washer about a year ago. And so it's one of those newfangled things that talks to you. So anyway, I put the load of wash in it, you know, and got it there. And then I pushed the power on, and then I got the soap and put in a little drawer and slid it back in, closed the lid, and happily walked out of the room. Did any of the ladies know what I forgot to do? Press the start. You're right. That's what Lori told me, too, when she got home. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you, Father, as we, Lord, talk about blessings. Lord, we look at the heart of God. We look at your intention for us, your desire for us. And Lord, we ask, Father, that you might encourage us and strengthen us and bless us this morning. For we know that all good things come from your sovereign hand. And we thank you, Lord, for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. It says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass, if you diligently obey," you may want to circle those two words, "diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments." Observe carefully all. Those are three important words in these first two. "His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey." Those are three very important words. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. See, God has promises for his people, and he's promised his people that I have blessings for you. You don't have to go looking for them. You don't have to search around for them. They are going to seek you and find you. They're going to overtake you. They're going to chase after you. All these blessings that I have for you, they are going to chase you down. But God's blessings are not unconditional. They come with conditions. Yeah. Many Christians seem to forget this. And they say, well, I love God. I go to church. I read the Bible. I pray. But do you obey his words? It's kind of like me. You know, I turn the washing machine on. I put the laundry in. I put the soap in the container, slid the dish back, put the lid down, but I forgot to push the start button before I left the room. You know what? Those clothes didn't get any cleaner than when I started from the pile on the floor. Isaiah 1:19 says, "If you are willing and you are obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land." 1 Samuel 15, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than the fat of rams." So, as we look at these blessings, we need to remember they're conditional blessings. They're conditional upon obedience. Let's look at some of them. Verse 3, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country." Isn't that encouraging? It doesn't matter where you go, he's going to be there to bless you. If you're in the city, he'll be there to bless you. If you're in the country, he'll be there to bless you. His blessings are not based upon or dependent upon your location. Sometimes you feel like, if I can only get out of this place, then God would bless my life. No, he's not dependent upon our locations, not at all. He can bless us wherever we are. In fact, if you think about it, some of his greatest blessings come in some of the most unexpected places. That's the way it happened for Jacob. God blessed him. When God blessed his life, he was in the desert. How about Joseph? When God put his blessing on his life, he was an Egyptian slave. Yeah. And God's blessings followed him in prison. Wow. So it didn't matter where he was. God's blessings came and overtook him. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. So God wants to extend his blessings beyond just even our immediate selves. He wants to extend them to our families, to our workplaces, to our businesses, to all those areas that we come in contact with. He wants to bless us with provision. That's what it's saying. He wants to provide us, provide for us, and bless us with the provision that we need. Verse 6, blessed shall be when you go in, come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Now, I really like this because it encompasses all of life. Whether you're coming in, whether you're going out, God's going to bless us. Daily routine of life. Mundane, boring parts of life. God will bring blessings to you. How about those wonderful, ecstatic, surprise moments that are just like, oh yeah, God brings blessings there too. We don't have to put out on his blessings. We don't have to do anything to take it off. He says it's going to be there whether you're coming in or going out. You don't have to worry about, oh no, did I remember to bring that with me? You know, God says it'll be there with you. I'm there to bless you whether you come in or you go out. And he says, I'll bless you all through the day, and then I'm going to bless you all through the night. There isn't a time that he isn't going to pour his blessings out upon his people. Psalm 121:8 says, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We are always under his care. I like Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him and delivers them. Wow. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him and delivers them. And sometimes we know about that deliverance, but many times we don't. In just this last week, we've had two people in our church body, independent of one another, literally come to circumstances that could have taken their lives. One is Lori. She literally spun out, spun around, did a 180 right in the middle of the freeway during rush traffic because someone cut her off. So close she couldn't see the front, she couldn't see the license plate of the guy as he came across her. That's how close he was. And then Len Whitrock had another near-death experience, and he had that just a few days ago. You can talk to him. And he thought for sure he was dead, and Lori did too. I mean, the angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him and delivers them. And there are probably, if we could have time, we could have others that could share, even in the last month, how God has delivered us and been there for us. So the key point is, we need to stop looking for bad things to happen and start looking for good things to happen. So many times we're focused on the bad, probably because we watch too much news. That's all they do is focus on the bad, it seems. And we get that mindset, but we need to start focusing on the good things that happen because God does bring so many good things to our lives. Let's look at verse 7. It's interesting because it starts out with these promises of blessing, and now it switches to this. He speaks these blessings to us, speaks promises to us that he says he will do. God says, the Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you, to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Isn't that interesting? I would not have expected him to bless me like that. You know what I would have expected? Him to tell me, I'm going to bless you. You're not going to have any more battles. Isn't that what we wanted him to say? Hey, guess what? I'm taking the battles away. Don't worry about it. No. He says, you're still going to have battles. The promise is, I'm not going to leave you alone in the battle. I'm not going to leave you without my presence, without my provision, without my care, without my guidance. you can be sure that the blessing of my presence is going to be in your life as you go through the battles. But he doesn't promise to take those battles away. He just promises he will never leave us in the midst of the trial we are facing. And he promises to help us to persevere through that battle. That's his promise to us. You know, when life comes crashing down on us like a tsunami, God says, I'm going to reach in with my mighty hands and I'm going to pull you up and lift you up on high. I'm not going to let you drown. I'm not going to let you go under. I'm going to hold you up. That's his promise to us. Verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. So God says, look, whatever you put your hand to, whatever you touch, I want to bring blessing upon it. Have you ever thought about that? Of just the fact that God wants to use you to bring a blessing to the things you touch, to the people and the lives you come in contact with. He says, I'm going to give you a secure future. You're going to have a future. You're going to have a hope as I impart blessing to your life. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. Notice once again the condition. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. So the Lord had a design for his people, and he has a design for you and I. And his design is that we would be a people that reflect his mighty blessings as we live for him. That in a world that worships other gods, that lives contrary to the way God wants them to live and God's commandments, he says, I want you to shine brightly as unique lights in a dark world. And I want to pour my blessings upon you. I want to show the world that my divine favor rests upon your life. That's God's desire. But all of these blessings were conditional on one thing. The key to all the blessings was obedience. It's always obedience. We must obey all of God's commandments. And that's where we kind of get hung up. So imagine you're on a rowboat, you're rowing, and you're in good shape. You're rowing out to sea. All of a sudden you're like 3 or 4 miles out to sea. The shore is a long way off. You decide to take a little break. I would think you deserve it. Put your oars down, you look around, you kind of look at your rowboat, you're looking at those planks at the bottom of the rowboat. There's about 10 of them. They all look real good, except one. One you notice is rotting and cracking away right before your very eyes, and water is starting to spew up from it. And you turn your boat around and you're rowing, but it doesn't matter. You've got 9 boards that are in great shape, solid as can be, but that one board is going to fill your boat up and cause you to sink. And that's what happens a lot of times. We'll say, oh, but I'm doing this. Yeah, but what about this other area that God is wanting to work in your life in and is speaking to you about? What about these areas? We've got to obey all of his commandments. And this is why we really need the grace of God, because we all fall short, don't we? The grace of God is found in Jesus Christ. And I love that verse in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I wonder if we miss many of God's blessings, really, because we don't stop and review all the good things he has done for us. I wonder if we just miss them, that he's bestowing blessings on us that we don't recognize because we're so focused on that one thing that we wish would happen, or one prayer request we're still waiting to get answered, but God's doing all these other things, but it's like, ah, yeah, but I really want this to happen. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? It's in Luke chapter 15. He had all the blessings. Think about it. This guy had all the blessings of his father's house. His father looked to be pretty rich. I mean, he had all these flocks. He had servants. He was living the lap of luxury. But it meant nothing to him. Why? Because his heart was set on other things. And what were they set on? Things that were not part of the father's will for the son. And because his heart was set on other things, he missed all of the blessings that his father was bestowing upon him and wanting to give to him. And let's face it, there are times in our lives, every one of us, when we don't feel blessed. We go, Pastor, you're talking about blessings. I don't even feel blessed today. I feel unblessed. I feel like he's passed over me and he's missed my life. Yeah, we all feel that way at different times. All of us. None of us are immune to those feelings. But I want to suggest that maybe we need to use a different gauge for how we gauge our blessings. A different measuring. So how do we know if God's favor and his blessings are resting upon our lives? Well, let's look at some things. Some scriptural ways we know. The first one is, we know God's blessing and favor is on our lives when we have the approval of the Father's presence. The approval of the Father's presence. You know, Daniel didn't feel really blessed in the lion's den until he recognized and focused on the fact that he had the approval of the Father's presence. Psalm 90, verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands, that the beauty of the Lord would just rest upon us. And his presence wants to surround us as the beauty of the Lord, just resting on us, knowing that I'm his child, knowing that he's pleased with me, knowing that he loves me. That's huge. Just the blessing of his presence, that he is with me. That's why Jesus says in John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And then he says, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Wow. So he says, if you just love me and keep my commandments, my Father and I, we're going to come to you, and not only that, we're going to make our home there in you. We're going to abide there with you in a personal way, very personally, the presence of God with us. And he promises us this presence is what will keep us and help us to hang on and help us to plow through the most difficult of circumstances. That's why in Psalm 23, 4, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. It's only the presence of the shepherd where the sheep says, I can go through this valley and not have fear, only because of his presence, the presence and the approval of God. Wow. Secondly, to discern God's favor and blessings on our life. Secondly, is your life will benefit others. Your life will benefit others. And that's a fascinating thing. We don't think about that when we think about the blessings of God. We're looking at being blessed, not that our life is actually benefiting and blessing others. So you take, for example, Jacob and Esau. Remember, Jacob was fleeing for his life from his brother Esau. Had to go to another land. Left his father, his mother, all his home, his comforts, all his familiar surroundings. He goes to another place. He hangs out with his father Laban. He wasn't happy there. He was miserable with Laban. Laban wasn't so good of a guy. But guess what? Laban was really happy with Jacob there. Oh, yeah, he loved it. Why? Oh, it tells us in Genesis 30:27. Laban said to him, "Please stay if I found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Yeah, ever since you've come, my life is better. Your life has been a blessing to me. Jacob didn't feel so blessed during those 20 years that he was in exile with Uncle Laban. Or remember Joseph. Joseph is sold by his brothers as a slave to Egypt. He gets bought by a guy named Potiphar. He's now a slave. He goes from being the favored son in his family to being on a whole new culture, speaking a whole different language, all different weird religions and all this stuff. And he's away from everything he loves and holds dear and betrayed by his own brothers. And there he is in Potiphar's house. And guess what Potiphar says? Wow. So it was from the time that he had been made overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and in his field. Potiphar was one blessed guy with Joseph there. Did Joseph feel blessed? No. Joseph didn't feel blessed there at all. But Potiphar had the blessing of God on his life because of Joseph's presence. So Joseph didn't feel blessed. Jacob didn't feel blessed. But the tangible blessing was on others whom their life was connected with, whom their life touched. So even when the servant of God, you or I, as God's children, God's servants, we don't feel blessed. God says, that's okay. I'm bringing blessing, but I'm bringing on those that you're coming in contact with. Your time's going to come. That's all part of God's plan. It's not that God doesn't love us during those times. I'm sure Jacob and Joseph and other saints throughout the centuries have wondered, God, what is going on here? But they found out in due time, didn't they? So the first thing, the approval of Father's presence. Secondly, your life will benefit others. Third, you will receive God's strength and refreshing. God's strength and refreshing. Proverbs 19:12, the king's wrath is like a roaring lion, but his favor is like the dew on the grass. His favor is like the dew from heaven that comes on the grass. And I love what Psalm 23 says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. God wants to bring strength and refreshing. So God's favor will lead us to times of strength and refreshing. It doesn't mean we're not weary. That's why we need the strengthening and the refreshing. We are weary, and we get weary. But he promises to be there to strengthen us, to refresh us, to revive us. And fourth, we recognize God's favor and blessing in our life because he places a special hedge around our lives against the enemy, a special hedge against the enemy. So do you remember when the devil wanted to attack Job? He was frustrated. Why? Because he knew there was this hedge around Job that he couldn't get through. He couldn't push past. God wanted to protect Job, and he protected him with this hedge of protection to where the enemy couldn't get to anything that was in Job's life. Couldn't touch him at all. Have you not made a hedge around him, Satan said, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. You've surrounded him with this hedge of blessing and protection. Psalm 106:4, remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. Oh, visit me with your salvation. And he has. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, he's visited you with his salvation. His Holy Spirit lives within you. The enemy, he can send his battles against you. He can buffet you. But he can't live inside you. He can't possess you. He can't dominate your life. The Holy Spirit is there. He's blessed us with his salvation and provision. So what if God decides to tighten the hedge up or remove a part of the hedge? What happens then? I don't feel so blessed when he does that, do you? No, we start feeling very unblessed when he takes away part of the hedge. And he says, okay, I'm going to work on this area. I've got things to do in your life, and I'm pruning, and I'm taking away some of that hedge. And you're going, oh, Lord, what are you doing? What do we do then? We got to go back and remember points 1, 2, and 3. We need to remember, do I have the Father's approval, the approval of his presence? Do I see him benefiting and blessing the lives of others around me and maybe through me? And do I experience his blessing of strengthening and provision? Wow. So if I do, then I need to bring blessing to others, even though he's pruning some areas of my life. Verse 12. So the Lord will open up his good treasure, the heavens, and give rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Wow. So God's intent is that you and I would be a blessing. He wants to pour out his blessings on us so that we could be a blessing to others. Have you ever thought about that? So when we get a financial windfall, when God blesses us with something financially, do we recognize that that's an opportunity to bless others as well? To bless. He says, I'm going to bless you so much, you're going to be lending and not borrowing. You're going to have so much, you're going to have an excess. You're going to give it away. Wow. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants to make us a blessing. And you know what? We need to be praying for our families, praying for the families in our church, praying for your family, praying for your employer, praying for those around you, that they would be blessed with financial provision and that they would have a generous heart to share that with you, and that we would share it as well. So we're being blessed and want to pass those blessings out. And we need to pray for others to be blessed so that they can pass those blessings on. So the key point here is God wants to bless his people so that they will be a blessing to others. Wow. A generous spirit of giving. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the tail. I want to be the head. Someone said, the view from the back of the pack is not very good. I think it's true. But the Bible teaches us that God does want to bless us, but sometimes he humbles us. Wow. Yeah, if you go through the saints, Daniel was humbled and then exalted. Joseph was humbled and later exalted. Jacob was humbled. He was later exalted. Abraham, humbled, later exalted. David, he was humbled, later exalted, and then humbled again. Yeah. Yeah. God does this humbling and exalting in our lives. Every one of us. How many of you feel like I'm in a humbling time right now? Yeah. How many feel like I'm in an exalted time right now? Just two of you? Three, good. Four, hallelujah. Can we make it five? All right, praise the Lord. How many of you go, I don't know, I got a little humble, a little exalted. I'm just confused right now. That's what I feel. You just got a new car for Mother's Day. You're in exalted time right now. You got a new knee. You're in exalted time right now. Whoa, praise the Lord. Richard's being humble, though, probably. 1 Peter 5, 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So there are times when we humble ourselves under his mighty hands, and he promises in due time he will exalt us. He didn't say in your time. He said in due time. You wish due time would hurry up and make it time. I read a story about a man who bought this farmland in the Midwest years ago, and he tried his hand at farming and just couldn't get anything to grow. So he finally, after a few years, he and his family just packed it up and was discouraged, and he sold the farm. So another family bought it, and they hired a firm to come in and dig a water well on the property. And as they were digging that well, lo and behold, they found one of the richest oil deposits in the whole Midwest, digging for the well. Wow. And there's times when we walk with God there's times when we have to just wait it out. We have to wait it out, and we have to go deeper and deeper and dig deeper and deeper into the things of God in order to find that blessing. Because sometimes His blessings are just not on the surface of a shallow Christian walk. And we need to really dig into Him. And that's when we find the deepness and the riches of His blessing and His goodness to us. Verse 14. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after gods, other gods, to serve them. So once again, encouragement, we're to remain faithful and obedient to God and to His Word. Now, since it's Mother's Day, I wanted to kind of close this message with a little kind of a mini message about a man who had two moms. And that man is the man Moses. Now, George Washington said, "All that I am, I owe to my mother." Well, Moses, think about him. He's one of the greatest men in the whole Old Testament. Now, I mean, we're studying the book that he wrote, Deuteronomy. He penned this. God spoke to him. This is basically three sermons by Moses that comprise the book of Deuteronomy. This man, if you think about Moses, he had perhaps the most profound impact on all of human history, apart from Jesus Christ. Moses, what a man. Think about it. And he was so special, God said, "You're going to need two mothers." And He gave him two mothers. And the first thing we recognize about both these women that he was given as mother was they both loved babies. Yeah, they both loved babies. And not all women love babies. Heard a story about a mother and daughter that were going shopping for bathing suits, and the daughter's there working on trying to find a suit that fits, and she's trying bathing suit after bathing suit after bathing suit. Mom keeps putting them over the door, and she puts them back. She says, "No, this doesn't work, this doesn't work." Finally, the mother encourages her. She says, "Look, honey, what would you rather have, a husband and three kids that adore you or a bathing suit that fits?" She didn't even get a chance to answer that. A voice comes from out above the other curtain that says, "I want a bathing suit that fits." Not all women love children. So, not all women do, but these two women love children. Moses' mothers lived, both of them, in a culture of death. Think about it, didn't they? Pharaoh had declared that all the male Hebrews were to be cast into the river and drowned. And Moses' mother had a choice to make, and she chose to give her son a chance at life. And it wasn't an easy choice. Moses' mother's name was Jochebed, and she chose to risk her own life to give her son a chance at life. So she was going to have to hide him, and it wouldn't be easy to hide a baby for several months. But she did. Wouldn't be easy. It'd be difficult. And she did it at risk of her own life and the life of her family. But she wanted to give her child a chance to live. And then she had to make another difficult decision, didn't she? She had to make the decision to give her child a chance to live apart from her and her family. Wow. Yeah, Moses' mother loved babies. Moses' adopted mother, Pharaoh's daughter, she loved babies too. I mean, think about it. When she saw this baby in the basket floating down the river and it was brought to her, and she opened it up, she knew exactly what kind of baby was in that basket. In fact, Exodus 2 verse 6 says, she said, "Open up," she saw the baby, and the baby wept, and so she had compassion on him, and she said, "This is one of the Hebrews' babies." Yeah. She knew exactly what baby that was, and it wasn't easy. She could have easily let the baby drowned in the river and just said, "Put the lid back on the basket and pass it on down to the river. I'm sure a crocodile would love to meet that little baby." But she chose life for that baby, even though her father had decreed that that child should have died. She chose life. So Moses lived and grew to be a man because he had two mothers that loved children. And Moses had two mothers that also did all that they could do for their child. Think about that. Yeah. Jochebed did all she could do for her baby. It says in Exodus 2, it says, when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, laid it in the reeds by the river bank, and his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. So Jochebed put Moses in a safe place. She didn't just cast him out in the river anywhere. She strategically put him in a place where he would be found by another woman of influence, of power, of position, a woman that would have the potential and the possibility to save his precious little life if she chose to do. And so Moses grew into adulthood, and he was educated, we're told, in all the ways of Egypt. He was given the finest education possible. Pharaoh's daughter did all that she could for Moses. She gave him all the best opportunities. And so she helped him, she educated him, she put him into the best schools that Egypt, one of the greatest nations of the ancient world, could offer to him as the grandson of Pharaoh. Wow. He was given everything. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11:24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, even though he was given everything. Why? What was missing? What could be missing? He had it all. He had prestige. He had power. He had wealth. He had knowledge. He had it all. But he said, I've given that all up. Why? Because there was one thing that Pharaoh's daughter couldn't give Moses. The one thing that was missing was that ingredient that Jochebed could give to Moses. She could give to him a knowledge of God, and Pharaoh's daughter couldn't. Pharaoh's daughter did all she could for Moses. She did the best she could, the best she knew to give to him. But she didn't have the knowledge of God. Jochebed did. And she gave that to Moses. How? By reading in Bible stories? Nope. Bible wasn't written then. Maybe the book of Job. But she told him stories. She told him stories about Abraham, about Isaac, about Jacob, about Joseph, about his dreams, about him being sold into Egypt, into slavery, about God's promises. But she did something else, I'm sure of it, because she had Moses, remember, for several years, because she was able to wean him as a nurse before she handed him back to Pharaoh's daughter to be educated at school there and raised by her. She had an opportunity to share with her son the knowledge of God and her relationship personally with God. She shared with him her knowledge of God and passed that down to Moses. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has before ordained for us to walk in. He's prepared them for us. We're his workmanship. And she shared with her son that working of how God spoke to her, how God had revealed himself to her, how God was so important to her, how God loved her, and God loved him. And God had a plan for you, Moses. And God loves you, Moses. And she shared with Moses about her relationship with God so that Moses never, ever forgot that. So we need to do that. We need to take that same example. We can do all these wonderful things for our kids. We can give them the best that the world has to offer, like Pharaoh's daughter did. But you and I as Christians, we have the opportunity, the unique opportunity to pass on what Jochebed did to Moses. We pass on to our children, to our grandchildren, to our nieces, to our nephews. We pass on a knowledge of God and how he's working in our lives and how faithful he's been to us and what he's done for us and in us and through us, how he's touched our lives. That's what we need to do. How we've got a God that will never leave us. He'll never forsake us, even in the difficult times of life. I want to close by reading a story by Max Lucado in A Gentle Thunder, his book. It's been edited by Jeff Streit. Moms, why do you love your newborn child? Oh, I know, it's a silly question, but indulge me. Why do you? For months, this baby has brought you pain. They've made you break out with pimples and waddle like a duck. Because of them, you've craved sardines and crackers, and you've thrown up every morning. They punched you in the tummy. They occupied space that wasn't theirs and ate food they didn't even fix. You kept them warm. You kept them safe. You fed them. But did they say thank you? Are you kidding? She's no more out of the womb and she starts to cry. The room is too cold. The blanket is too rough. The nurse is too mean. And who does she want? Mom. Do you ever get a break? I mean, who's been doing all the work for the last 9 months? Why can't Dad take over? But no, Dad won't do. She wants Mom. She didn't even tell you she was coming. She just came. And what a coming. She rendered you a barbarian. You screamed. You swore. You bit bullets. You tore sheets. And now look at you. Your back aches. Your head pounds. Your body is drenched with sweat. Every muscle stretched and strained. You should be angry. But are you? Far from it. On your face is a longer than forever love. They've done nothing for you, yet you love them. They brought pain to your body and nausea to your morning, yet you treasure them. Their face is wrinkled, their eyes are dim, yet all you can talk about is their good looks, their bright future. She's going to wake you up every night for the next 6 weeks, but that doesn't matter. I can see it on your face. You're crazy about her. Why? Why does a mother love her newborn child? Because the baby is hers? Even more, because the baby is her. Her blood, her flesh, her sinew, her spine, her hope, her legacy. It bothers her not that the baby gives nothing. She knows that a newborn is helpless and weak. She knows babies don't ask to come in this world. And God knows we didn't either. We are His idea. We are His face, His hands, His eyes, His touch. We are And so that love that a mother has for her newborn child is kind of like an example of the love that God has for us, His children. Wow. And God wants to bless His children with so many blessings, each one of us. But you know what? Sometimes sin and disobedience hinder us from receiving those blessings. And so there may be something in your life today. You say, you know what? There is something, and I know. Maybe God's put His finger on something that He says, you need to repent of this. You need to surrender this. You need to give this to me. Let's pray. Father, we've talked about blessings today. And Lord, we all want more. We want more of Your blessing upon our lives. And Lord, sometimes we're our own worst enemies. Sometimes, Lord, the sin in our life that You've been dealing with, speaking to us about, asking us to surrender, asking us to give it to You, lay it on the altar. And yet, Lord, we want to hold on to it, but we still want Your blessings. And Lord, just as we are withholding that sin from your forgiveness, your grace, your cleansing power, you will often hold your blessings from our lives in order to provoke us, make it painful enough to where we're willing to say, Lord, I surrender, I just give this to you. And so if the Lord's speaking to you right now today and there's a sin, something between you and him, it could be unforgiveness, it could be an addiction, a habit, it could be desires, it could be a secret that nobody knows about, but he knows. And he's saying, I want you to give that to me. I want you to give that to me. I want to bless your life. I have only good things for you. Will you give that to me today? That's his question to us. Oh Lord, we just want to offer these things to you. Lord, that you would forgive us. We want to forsake those things that hinder our relationship with you. That sin that so easily besets us in that race that is before us. Lord, we give that to you. Forgive us. Lord, cleanse us and wash us anew, we pray. In Jesus' name.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.